Thank you all for your attendance here this morning as we gather to worship God and to grow closer to Him and to one another. I love that passage that was just read. It was written by Paul to Timothy at a time when I think Timothy was kind of struggling with some weariness in his ministry. There was a lot of complexity. There was a lot of difficult things going on. And he's reminded to fight the good fight, to take hold of eternal life to which he was called, and he made the good confession. I think that language of good confession is a reference to something specific. It's a reference to a confession that was made by Timothy in the presence of many witnesses, and it's a confession that has been made by people and by Christians who commit themselves to the Lord from that time. You ever notice, right before someone's baptized, usually right here, before we do that, we'll ask a question. Or maybe it'll happen right up here, but we'll ask a question about whether or not they truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, whether Jesus Christ is Lord of their lives, whether they're willing to live for Him from that point forward. This is a confession that's made, and sometimes the wording varies. We have examples of it from early Christianity where it covers a good number of topics, confessing that they believe in those things. But I'm going to say, and I mean this, absolutely, without hesitation, those words that you proclaim on that day are the most important words that will ever come out of your mouth. I believe your marriage vows are extremely important. I believe they're helpful to look back upon and to remember the words that you promised to your spouse to have and to hold for richer, for poorer, for sickness and in health. But there are no words you can speak. There is no commitment that you can make. There is no allegiance that you can pledge that is more significant, that is more transformative, that is more eternal, that is more essential than the words you proclaim and you declare on that day. And as Timothy faces uncertainty, and as Timothy faces difficulty, Paul reminds him of those words. You made this pledge, and your words matter. When you make a commitment, it matters. Those words are not merely the recitation of some fact that you have in your head. They are a pledge of an allegiance to Jesus Christ from that point forward in your life. And they should mean something. It should be such a significant moment that throughout your life, like with Timothy, years later, you can look back on that moment. I think it's important in your marriage to occasionally look back and remember the vows that you made. Remember what you pledged to your spouse and ask yourself, am I keeping that? Am I holding fast to that? Can that still be seen today in the way that I'm living? And I think the same thing is true when it comes to our walk with Christ. That pledge that you made, don't forget it. Don't think, oh, there's that one thing I said that one time way back then. But actually, it's something that should be a living part of who we are and our identity each and every day. So that you can say, like Paul did, you made the good confession. Hold fast to it. Stand firm in it. I love the language of Hebrews 10:23. That's going to be one of our key verses for the year as we talk about confession. The theme for 2026 is I confess. And we're talking about confession that can be done in a lot of different ways. But one of those confessions we make is the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. The confession that He is the King of our lives. And so Hebrews 10:23, written to Christians who were wavering in their faith, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because He who promised is faithful. God is faithful to us, and so that's a confession that you can always rely on, that is always true. In a world that is turbulent, in a world where things come and things go, in a world where things are sometimes unreliable, in fact, I would say almost always unreliable, that is something you can rely on. It is sure and steadfast. Remember your confession. Make it a part of your daily life. Say it regularly. I think it's a confession that, yes, you make at that moment, but it should be on our hearts and on our lips as we go throughout our lives. Jesus made a very similar confession, by the way. The very next verse, Paul writes, he says, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified himself the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remain faithful until the coming of Christ, And he charges him in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who he says also made that confession. Do you remember Jesus standing before Pilate? And Pilate asks him, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? And Jesus responds, you said it. It is as you say. There's different ways that it's worded. But basically, he's saying that before Pilate, when Jesus was going to be crucified for who he is, he declared the good confession. I love the way Mark words it. When Mark says, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus says emphatically, I am. This is Jesus before Caiaphas. But he says, I am, and you will see the Son of Man riding on the clouds of heaven to sit at the right hand of God. It's like, you don't get a more clear statement than that as to who Jesus is. That's what we're sharing in when we make that confession. So why is it important to do? Well, I think it's important to speak with your mouth what is true in your heart. And so for Christians, we ought to be willing to put into words that which we claim to believe. But it's also important to have a moment that you can look back on. Sometimes our thoughts are fickle, and they can come and they can go, but it is important to have an actual moment when I made this confession in front of people and I can look back on that. When I was baptized in front of people and I can look back on that. When I became a follower of Jesus, I have this moment that I can say, you know what? I know I'm imperfect. I know that sometimes even my faith wavers. I know I have highs and lows throughout my Christian life, but I made that confession and God heard it. I made that confession and people heard it. I made that confession and that's something I can trust in now and that I can hope in now. Paul writes to Timothy and he tells him about this confession right after he tells him, like verse 10, the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith. He says that greed is something that has pulled people away from the faith. And then he tells Timothy in verse 11, but flee from these things. Things like greed, run away from them. Run away from a love for things that compete with Christ for the allegiance of our lives. And run towards righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. That's in chapter 11. So he gives them the reminder of the good confession in the midst of this call to leave greed behind, which is something that would compete with our allegiance to Christ, and to pursue Christ in a life consistent with his will fully. The reason I think that's important is because as we think about the good confession that we have made, you're going to be faced with greed. You will. You'll be faced whether it's greed for money, or whether it is greed for lust, or whether it is greed for any number of pleasures or distractions in life that might compete with our allegiance for Christ. It's in those moments that you remember the good confession. And you say, I've already answered this question. What should I serve right now? You have already answered that question. You are going to serve the Lord. That Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You'll either love one or hate the other or be faithful to one and deny the other. But you cannot serve God and wealth. Well, I think Paul is getting to that point right here in the life of Timothy, saying when you have options on the table for what's going to take your time or your allegiance, if it's going to take it away from God, you answered that question already when you made the good confession. So remember that and live in that. Honor your words. When you talk about temptations that arise in this life, there are going to be times you're tempted to do the wrong thing. There are going to be times that you're tempted to respond in ways that are not glorifying to Christ, to other people. There are going to be times that you're tempted to use your resources for things that are ungodly, use your bodies for things that are ungodly. What should you do? You've already answered that question if you've made the good confession. There are going to be times that our lives become so busy that you're not even doing anything sinful. It's not like sin that you're tempted with. It's just distraction after distraction. Another obligation, another meeting, another sporting event, another thing that I'm supposed to, another time I could potentially work overtime, another hour away. It's like those types of things can take over. And when you find yourself spending so much time on those things that the time that you can spend meeting with God's people, the time that you can spend in worship of God, the time that you can spend in growing in your walk with God, the time you can spend with prayer, as that dwindles, remember your good confession. Remember how you declared how you would spend your time and your allegiance with Jesus as your true King. You remember that. and you live a life consistent with that. When you just begin to experience the very common feeling of Christian weariness, I'm tired. I've been doing this Christian thing for a long time, and you know what? With my job, it requires a lot of work, but I at least have a vacation and a couple of months that I can look forward to, and that gets me through. You know, you don't have that when it comes to being a Christian. You don't have that moment where you're like, oh, finally, I can take a little bit of time off and just live for me for now. Jesus does not give you that. He doesn't give you time off. He doesn't give you, and that can cause you to be weary. When you're just like, I have been serving, I have been trying to deny myself, I have been trying to live faithfully, and I'm tired. I want me time. That Christian weariness, as it begins to set in, you remember your good confession. You remember why you do this. You remember for whom you do this. And you remember that He didn't give up on you. He didn't take a vacation from you. He didn't stop when it came to what was necessary for you, to the extent that He suffered and bled and died, giving Himself wholly for you. Remember that confession. Remember the one in whom you confess. When you have confusion, that'll happen too. Sometimes there's theological confusion. Sometimes there's things in the Bible you don't understand. Sometimes there are questions that you don't have good answers to. Sometimes there are events in your life that make you question everything, that make you question the church, or make you question the Bible, or make you question God. Remember your confession. Remember you've answered that question already. Remember you've already pledged yourself to Him. And you might never get the answer you want, but Jesus is Lord regardless. You might never get the clarity that you so long for, but God doesn't ask us for clarity. He asks us for faithfulness. God doesn't ask us to only serve when we have every answer answered and every question resolved. He wants us to serve even when we don't. You remember your confession. Sometimes you'll experience betrayal. Sometimes there will be someone who you've looked up to, and you find that that's a person you can't trust anymore. There was a big story in the news this last week, someone a lot of people looked up to, and they came to realize that he is a sinner. And they realize that you can't put your hope and your trust in man, and that can be confusing. That can be challenging. That can be heartbreaking. Remember your confession. Remember it's the one who has never failed you in whom you confessed. Remember it is the integrity of Jesus Christ that is our substance, and that is that on which we stand. When you have fear, remember, Jesus, His good confession is mentioned in the presence of Pontius Pilate, who held life and death in His hands. There may be times that you're afraid to be a Christian. There may be times when you're fearful of what the future holds and of what there might be in store. You remember your good confession. You remember the declaration of allegiance that you made to Jesus Christ. There may be times of grief in your life. You've lost someone that you love. You've experienced devastation. And in those moments, it can be easy to allow grief to so envelop you that Jesus ends up shut out, and you distance yourself more and more with each passing day and week and month. Remember your good confession, because it's not only a commitment to Jesus, it is also a declaration all that Jesus has done. There is sin in this world, and He has conquered it. There is death that will touch every one of us, and that has touched everyone who has lived up to this point, save those who are still alive. And it will touch people that we know, and yet He has been victorious over it. There is the resurrection, and there is life that we can look to and long for, and that is only found in Jesus. The last thing to do in a time of grief is to forget your confession of Him. You remember your confession. That's where hope is found. I cannot promise you what the future holds. I can't promise you what your life will hold. I can't promise you when you will have ups and when you will have downs, but I can promise you that the one in whom you confessed is faithful, is true, is reliable, and even though the world might be crazy, you can have something solid and concrete when you remember your confession. Though the world may crumble, your confession remains. Confess Christ. Remember Christ. Remember that you've already answered so many of the questions that will come up in your life when you remember what you have declared of him. And as we bring our lesson to a close, I want to invite you, if you have not confessed Christ as your Lord, if you have not declared him to be the king of your life, if you have not given yourself over to him through repentance, confession, and baptism, do so now. There is no reason to wait. There is no reason to delay. If you truly believe, then you are ready now. And we would love to help you do that. And if you have found that over the years of your Christian life, your confession has gotten foggy, perhaps you don't remember it or think about it or live true to it, we would love to help you in any way that we can. We would love to pray for you, to encourage you, to help strengthen you as a community of Christ. Our confession is one that we share in because we each as Christians have made it. So if we can help you, we'll have some elders in the library in the back that you can talk to. Or if you want the prayers of the whole church right now, you can come and you can sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.